is black haired. The man goes dance, you know, she dances rock.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Drive Through HR. Brian, William, and Nisha coming to you live every day. Number one HR show, Monday through Friday, 12 Central. So changing it up a little bit today. Guests have some scheduling issues, so we're just going to go a little bit live and impromptu. So, by the way, if you want to call in, we'll take some calls and talk to some people. 347-996-5600. That would be cool. If not, that would be cool too. So I am actually downtown Dallas. Actually, William and I are both at the Meeting of the Minds or Self-Opportunity Meeting of the Minds Conference. It basically is a conference that brings together thought leadership around recruiting, HR, really strong presence from the restaurant industry, kind of the talent side of restaurants. So we really appreciate them putting that on. I'm doing that live from the Old Red Courthouse, which is a historic courthouse in downtown Dallas, a block away from a very historic site where JFK was assassinated. So it's a really interesting place to be at. If you like history, I mean, which I do, absolutely love the area. So anyway, I'm going to talk a little bit about the conference because it's pretty unique. I mean, it's probably 100, 125 people, so it's a nice, small, kind of intimate setting. They've got it broken up. This is the 10-year anniversary, actually, of the conference. And so they have been doing this for quite a while. So Sean Self, who is the founder of Self-Opportunity, Inc., who actually heads up the conference, kicked it off. And then Brian Medina, who that I know and invited us to come on over. William is speaking today, so he's doing his social framework, which I sat in on, and I have seen it before. So, and it was, as always, great information. You get a chance, you should definitely sit in, and it's fairly entertaining too. So the conference, I just want to talk a little bit about, initially, the keynote speaker. He was kind of the opening speaker, which I was really fascinated to watch and actually enjoyed. So I think they took a little more risk, which I love to see conferences do, and they had Larry North, which I was not familiar with him before that, but his basically the title of his session was Eat In or Eat Out, Eating Your Way to a Beautiful Body and Healthy Lifestyle. So he's fairly well known for he's owned some gyms, he's owned a restaurant, he does a lot around fitness and, eating lean. And so very interesting. I actually really enjoyed his presentation. He's a real high energy, pretty big dude, needless to say. And very well known, been in business 25 years, and so he talked just about kind of like the approach to thinking about eating and kind of health and how that affects, a lot of different things, and was able to tie it into some different personal stories around HR and him growing up, and just I thought it was pretty well done, or at least enjoyable for myself. So anyway, the one thing out of that was requesting no grease. That's the two words that he's had everybody hopefully take away, no grease. So if you say, I don't want anything in grease, use or no oils used in your food, when you request that lowers your or makes more lean eating, which I thought was really cool. I mean, a lot of people are trying to be more fit. I thought it was good. A lot of restaurant folks in there, which was awesome. And it was, again, a little motivational. He's got some good personal stories that tied in there that were actually pretty awesome, pretty big stories. So that was pretty cool. So anyway, 2-day conference. Again, I think the way they've structured it, it's a small conference. They've got actually Aaliyah Wright is going to be talking coming up here in probably about an hour and a half. So, and doing a book signing, and she wrote a book, A Necessary Evil: Managing Employee Activity on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and hundred of other social media sites. So, and funny enough, Aaliyah is going to be on Drive-Thru HR in a few weeks, and so it'll be fun to actually meet her in real life. So anyway, let me see here. So today, I just wanted to talk a little bit. So I'm basically going to share a whole bunch of thoughts around just some of the things, events, and talked a little bit about this yesterday with Jared, who was on. Great, if you're not following, Jared Olson, HR professional based out of, I think, Washington or Utah. Check him out, LinkedIn, Google, hook up with him. Great show yesterday. And so we ask a bunch of questions from a practitioner standpoint around kind of how do you handle the conversations? What do you do in the conversations when you have situations like the Naval Yard in Washington, D.C., where you had such a tragedy happen, it was such a tremendous loss of life. And, that's a legitimate, you need to think it through, what happens, type situation. And so that's one of those conversations that, it hits people different ways. And so not having it, obviously, I think is the worst choice, in my opinion. Just letting it sit there and letting people worry about it and not talk about it. So, are there things that you can potentially do better? Is there anything you can do? Is it really just being open? I don't know. That's literally for you and your organizations to kind of figure out kind of what that dialogue looks like, but have the dialogue, because there's a lot of people that are kind of frightened today that maybe they were a little bit before, but they're freaked out that similar things are going to happen. And, more than not, probability, from the probability standpoint, it's not going to happen, but the fear is still there. The fear is real. And so talk it through, kind of work it, talk through the situation as the details are unfolding. Ironically, it sounds like the person that was behind that, actually, that last night I'd read up on that and was from Fort Worth. So that's just, interesting. So we'll see how that all unfolds. But bottom line is have the conversations, open the dialogue up, with everybody on kind of thoughts around it, and let them share their thoughts, whether they're right, wrong, indifferent. Let them get it out so it's not internalized and coming out in a lot of other, ways that they're handling that. So I know that we had a speaker, and it was really interesting to get the perspective of people actually involved, and which is the irony of that is a friend of mine in D.C. last week, where I was in D.C. last week traveling, and she was sharing that she worked at the company that, or had employed before. I'm trying to think. So in Aurora, Colorado, I think it was 2 years ago, there was, again, another mass shooting. I think it was at a movie theater. And the guy that did that worked for her company. It was the last place that he'd ever worked before he moved to Colorado. And we were discussing this because she, she's involved. They want to get kind of background and will probably be involved as just a, just kind of a background witness. I don't know what to call it. In that trial. So that happened in Colorado. And so she was talking about that once that came out of the news, that she started asking the questions, and people started coming through, oh my gosh, this is so-and-so. And everybody started telling her stuff that she didn't know about because that person was a model employee. So sometimes, maybe more than not, I don't know, but sometimes that there's really no indication. He kept to himself. They said he acted a little odd at times, but it was nothing that was malicious, or there was nothing that was violating, you know, personal space with anybody. He wasn't, you know, there's just nothing too weird. But he did his job. He came in, showed up, was punctual, did his job, and, you know, and then something happened. And so, which I'm sure we'll know more about when that goes to trial, but that's what she said. She knew who he was, and that he just was really quiet, kind of stuck to himself, and, you know, but did performance-wise, was fine, literally. So I thought that was really interesting, kind of ironically and tragically sad, but interesting, because that, more than not, is the case, that there's really no indication from a job performance. There might be some things from a behavioral performance, maybe, that you can look for, but, you know, you start thinking about stuff like that, and, you know, you just, you know, sometimes more than not, everybody kind of looks the other way or puts a label on it. So there's just some things to think about there. So, but again, unbelievable tragedy, and just kind of turn it into as much of a positive as you can by opening the dialogue up about how you approach things like that, like major events, like security events. Workplace violence is, you know, one of those that, you know, if you can do everything you can to prevent it, then that's good. But if it's just ignoring the fact that, oh, it'll never happen here, then, okay, that's probably not so good. So anyway, have the discussion. Trying to think. So it is definitely, it's funny that college football season, it's up. It's there. Pro football's up. So there's a lot of things going on now that I think are always, every year it comes up, that people are like, workplace shouldn't have this, workplace shouldn't have that. And we're back to that big conversation of, you know, how social do you let your workforce? And, you know, the conversation hasn't changed 5 years, 4 years, 3 years. It hasn't changed at all, is the fact that the more socially kind of woven your workplace is, to where people have more friends at work that they socialize with, the more productive your workforce is. Higher level engagement, more productive, less likely of, you know, unionization. I mean, all the things that a lot of companies to stay competitive are working toward, that's the silver bullet. That's literally the thing that, the secret sauce. And so think about that. So instead of being the anti, like, okay, we're going to ignore all this stuff because it's unproductive, take a step back and actually, put the narrow-mindedness to the side. That's what it is. And actually take a look at that and say, okay, everybody's talking about it. Everybody's thinking about it. It happens every single season. Sports is just one of those things. It's not everybody's thing, but it's out there. If it's not your thing, then maybe it's your significant other's things, or maybe it's your kids' things. So maybe embrace that and figure out, during the season, figure out what everybody likes to do and put some energy behind it. And so I think it's awesome, like when I see an executive from a pretty large company who's a friend post out that she's killing it, just killing it on fantasy football, I'm like, yeah, that's awesome that they're sharing that. And it's, you know, they've got like their whole offices involved. And so that's a really, really good way to actually bond with some people. So that was actually really, that actually made me smile. So, but think about that. Think about all the different opportunities that are just sitting there, and people are, you know, just like all excited about it, and then are, you know, getting the wet blanket thrown on them, be like, oh, you know, you can't really do anything with that. It's kind of like the, you're kind of in the back of the room, and it's like just, okay, we can't really talk about it because it's seen as unproductive. So yeah, just think about that. There's tons of opportunities that actually are right in front of you. Just open your eyes. You know, just be willing to receive all the different solutions that are out there. Having tons of conversations around engagement and kind of top grading talent. I mean, that's been a conversation that I've been involved with lately quite a bit. And a lot of times, I mean, your talent pool is right in front of you. Unless you're just a completely messed up organization. I mean, you've got talent in front of you. You've got enthusiasm in front of you. All the answers are in front of you. You just got to be willing to take a look at and embrace what they are. And so that's the beauty of it. It doesn't cost anything to open your eyes and your mind to kind of, you know, what's available. So one of the things that I just actually presented in northern Cincinnati, Ohio, on kind of the new generation workforce, and one of the things that definitely talked about was the fact that people are really, really willing to be engaged, but you've got to give them some things to kind of, you know, to latch onto. I think that's people just don't really know how to start and are uncomfortable. And, you know, it's like having that first conversation, the icebreaker for a lot of people is really, really uncomfortable. So if you can just give them some points of familiarity, and maybe it's, you know, maybe it's fantasy football, or maybe it's, you know, getting involved with the charity, I mean, volunteering. I mean, there's, you know, maybe it's Pinterest, I don't know, doing social media training for them. And there's like 10 million different things. So, that you can actually do that. So, hey, let's take a caller and see what he's got to say. So, hey, you're on with Drive Through HR. Who do we got here?
Hey, Brian, Jason Seiden.
Oh my gosh, Mr. Seiden, your timing is perfect, because I'm going to do a quick reset, and everybody listen to Drive Through HR. It's Brian on with Jason Seiden, a surprise caller.
How are you, my friend?
I'm good. Thanks for jumping on, man. So
sure.
So
I'm sitting here with my bulldog. So if you hear barking or growling in the background, I promise it's not me.
I love it. I love you. You got people. You got people. So supporting the cause. I was talking a little bit earlier around kind of the events, you know, just in D.C. and just that happened tragically this week, and just gave some my thoughts on the fact that you can't, you know, now's a perfect time to open up a dialogue with everybody so it's not sitting out there happening that you're not involved with. So any thoughts on, you know, again, from you've been a workforce person for a long, long, talent manager person for a long time. What would you suggest to teams that are out there and leaders that are out there as far as, like, dealing with this conversation, you know, around the events in D.C.?
Yeah, you know, it's, first of all, the faster you can put something out there, the better. Different people deal with it differently. You can't go into anything with judgment. If somebody wants to ignore it, great, let them ignore it. Let them focus on work and escape into work. If somebody needs to deal with it, great, somebody needs to deal with it. This is a psychological thing, and if you don't give people space to play through it, then it becomes a work thing, right? So number one is just be sensitive to that. And number two is take responsibility for the conversation. The faster you get, you know, I heard a little bit about what you were saying, and most of us have the same fears. Few of us have the social grace to know how to start the conversation. So simply taking responsibility for it is a huge step, and you want to make sure that you do it with a light touch. You don't want to start with a joke. You don't want to be offensive. You don't have to be good if you just use a light touch and you say, hey, listen, you know, we have big news coming out here. Do you know anybody who's out there? Were you impacted? Same conversation that we have unfortunately become too familiar with. It's very easy to just personalize it and say, you know, I was reading this. I've got extended family out in D.C. What a mess. And just something that simple. And if the person you're talking to needs to talk about it, they'll engage. And if they don't, they move through and you can move on to the next topic.
Nice. Well, I mean, and that's, you bring up such a good point, is don't, by forcing everybody to engage might actually be exactly the wrong thing. So that's actually a completely great point, of which thank you for reminding me of that also. So thank you. Moving on. So what's going on with you? What's big in your world right now, man?
You know, it's
so first
so
of all,
been,
first of
been...
all introduce yourself. First of all, introduce yourself. I just assume everybody in the world knows you, but again, I would be remiss for not giving you the opportunity for that one person that doesn't know you yet.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm Jason Seiden. I'm the CEO of a company called Ajax Workforce Marketing. Those of people who are listening who know me probably know me from my consulting days. I've written a couple books, How to Self-Destruct, Super Staying Power. And about 3 years ago, career development for me really turned into helping people tell their stories, tell them online. And the business that I run helps companies get their employees to optimize their social profiles and do it in a way, very opt-in, but do it in a way that there's a consistent thread that runs through these employees' profiles. So helps the employees look good, helps the company look good, win-win all the way around. That's what we do.
So what is workforce marketing, first of all? Marketing's a big word, right? Brand marketing, those
yeah,
are big
sure.
ones that, you know, so what's workforce
sure.
marketing?
So you take let's take a term that I think people are becoming more familiar with, employer branding. It's wonderful, right? The idea of putting a brand around who and what your company is all about. The question is, how do you get the word out? And if you look at something like Edelman's Trust Barometer, you learn that when it comes to what life is like in a company, employees have a 61% trust factor, your CEO has about a 20% trust factor, and your spokesman has about an 11% trust factor. So every dollar you spend on employee branding, if all you do is push that brand out through formal channels, your return is limited to 10 cents on the dollar. If you have your CEO talk about it, your return is limited to 20% on the dollar. If you can get your employees to engage, you get 3 to 6 times those rates. The question is, how do you get your employees to engage? That's what workforce marketing is. It's getting people to remember why they were excited about working at your company in the first place and getting them to take a piece of that employer brand that resonates with them and make it part of their own personal pitch, whether you call it a personal brand or an elevator pitch, I don't care. It becomes part of their messaging. So whether it's a LinkedIn profile or a Friday night when they meet somebody new in a party and that person says, so what do you do? They're making part of the employer brand a part of their answer. That's what workforce marketing is.
Perfect. So where would you, because this is definitely your wheelhouse. Where does the HR professional, like, put the flag in the ground on we need to tell our story better as far as, like, when our recruiting? Our employment brand sucks. How do we start to, revision this and get this going
sure.
the right direction?
You know, well, it comes back, you know, it, obviously the context is quite different, but the idea of taking responsibility for the conversation is the same. It really comes back to what we were talking about before. For the last 3 years, I've been kind of in my own world and been looking at this. We've been working with sales teams, marketing teams, HR teams, recruiting teams. And I'll tell you, even though everybody's interested and there's, obviously, if we can get a sales team all aligned, that's great. Marketing is so afraid of losing their turf that we have found it actually can be difficult. On a practical basis, to work with marketing. What we do becomes a very big RFP, year-long process. It's just, it dies under its own weight. HR has a huge opportunity here. It can be as small as just working with recruiting and making sure the recruiting team is telling a consistent story. And generally what happens is we work with recruiting, we'll work with a specific hiring manager, and that hiring manager's team will get consistent messaging just on the team. And if we're successful, you know, if we do what we do and the company culture is at a place, an evolutionary place where this will work, then what ends up happening is other hiring managers want to do it as well. And fairly soon, this thing grows. Generally, we then get involved with a VP of internal communication. And what we're able to do is we use the workforce marketing process. We've got some software that we developed, right? I mean, there's a whole thing here. But what we do is we work with the company to then get their message out internally. You know, we talk about advocates. Marketing is talking about advocates. Well, your advocates, the people who really have a vested interest in your success, work there. So, so we start small. We start with recruiting. We move to a hiring manager, and then we're able to move to an internal communications program. And we really focus hard on allowing these programs to grow organically. And I'll tell you. You know, we live in a world where I get asked a lot about gamification. What are we doing to badge people and to give points? And we don't. We really give people a reason to internalize the company's message. And when we do that, we find there's a lot more staying power to and a lot more sustainable long-term impact to what employees do. So that's kind of how it moves.
Right on. So do you think gamification is just kind of the current, cocktail napkin, but it's really not.
Tangible. There's a lot that's good to it. The psychology of this is actually deep and very well understood. And what gamification is good for is bringing people to the table, just giving them a very light, easy way to get engaged at a very superficial level. But it does not lead to the kind of internalization that creates advocacy. And that's the challenge, is gamification rewards something very specific, and ultimately what it's rewarding is not the behavior you want. HR should get this. It's the age-old problem of you want people to work efficiently, but then you reward them for staying late because you just assume staying late means working a lot, but working a lot doesn't mean that they're being efficient. And then you get people gaming the system and using timers to send emails out at different, right? So gamification, very good at bringing people to the table, very bad at creating a sustainable program. So it has its place. And right now I think we overuse it, and I think there'll be a bit of a correction here in short order.
Well, Mr. Seiden, I appreciate you doing a brother a favor and calling in and
well, look, I just death. You know, right back at you. I wasn't expecting to talk at all about Ajax or workforce marketing. I just wanted to. It's been a long time. I wanted to give a shout in, say hello, and answer a question or two. So, Brian, thank you. I really appreciate it. It's always good talking with you.
Well, I learned something. We definitely having you on more. I think just as it's marketing is such an art and a science, and it changes, but it doesn't change. And it's one of those things that I love hearing about it, because I always get something. I'm like, you know, that's a piece that I'd never put right there in the puzzle, and it actually does fit. So it's good stuff. And folks, guess what? We are out of time again. Jason, thank you so much. We're going to roll this music especially for you.